Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless, carrying this show from a Friday to a Saturday near you. Welcome to the roundtable of Sports City. Now, I'm on the East Coast. I'm in the New England tri-state area. So I couldn't start this show right now without saying, people, and I'm being 100% serious, people, if you don't have to leave your house or wherever you are, don't leave. Don't leave. I just got word right now that the Duquesne basketball team is stuck on a highway. They cannot move. They are stuck on a highway in Pennsylvania. So, people, please stay home if you have, unless it's an emergency, unless you got to do what you got to do. Go out there and do what you need to do. But other than that, stay inside. I hope you went shopping and gathered all your things. But we got food for thought here in the kitchen. So I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Thomas is alive. Lots of bang to that all day long. I could just sit here and just headbang, get no sleep, get headaches. I could do what I need to do to that one, man. You lucky free. You lucky free ain't spitting, man. The call number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Like I said, people out there trying, you know, send your, you know, thoughts and prayers with the Duquesne team. Hopefully they get out of that highway situation. They are stuck on the highway, not moving. So we'll get to the situation. But I got a lot of people showing up in the kitchen, hands raised, ready to get this thing rolling, calling out of the Virginia region of the United States of America. I don't know if he's facing something, this blizzard, but we have Aaron Simmons in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, man, I'm blessed, you know, man. I'm safe, tucked in, me, my dog, and my lady, just kicking it, man, enjoying the day. You know, why not step in here and talk sports? It's good, man. Joshua, welcome home, my dude. Welcome home, my dude.
Oh, we'll get to those Bammers in a little bit. We'll get to them in a little bit, man. Calling in, and I don't usually see him around here, but I think he woke up this morning and he got himself a gun. I don't know if y'all heard that song, but Nas and the Sopranos series put that one together. We have Arkeezy, a.k.a. Royce King, in the building. Royce, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good, fellas. Excited about being here, joining you for the next 60 minutes. See what I got for you on a Saturday morning, man. Let's make it do what it do.
Okay, I got a little showcasing to do. I got some heavy hitters in the building, calling out Arizona, West Coast, Pacific region. We have Nacho in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone's safe out there on the East Coast.
I'm inside.
I ain't going nowhere.
Listen, let me tell you what we're expecting in the tri-state area. This is why I know I'm not going anywhere. They said Connecticut, New York, New Jersey are expecting 18 to 24 inches of snow. I'm not moving nothing. All I know is when it stops, I'm shoveling immediately. I'm getting that snow while it's soft. I'm not getting it when it settles, okay? So I'm going to get it moving as best as possible. Last but not least, calling out of the Michigan area, the Brooklynite himself, Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this morning?
It's too damn early.
I got to start with you all the time. Okay, fine. Let me get this thing cracking. So, unless these people have been under a rock, right? But no, I'm not even feeding into that topic like that. If and I'm not even going to say it like that, but I know the people that are listening now have been checking us out on a day-by-day basis or show-by-show basis, however you want to do it, right? But just this Thursday, me and my co-chefs and brothers sat here on this show here at the Crossover Cafe talking about the state of the Cleveland Cavaliers and how bad things are going and how Golden State came in there and just, you know, took their candy, took their lunch, took their cornbread, took their dinner, whatever you want to look at, just basically took everything that they had, and this was the finals rematch. This was a rematch that they actually lost on Christmas Day with Kyrie back. So this is supposed to charge them up. And I'm not going to lie. I think it was Chandler and Nas that said it together that David Black had to go. This was Thursday, people. This was Thursday. They said this Thursday evening right here in the kitchen, turned around Friday, NBA news, David Black fired. So first and foremost, right, I got to give, you know, congratulations to like, you know, Sports City, or I don't know if we provoked it or, like, you know, we looked into this, you know, like, before they did. I don't know how to look at it like that. Like, I'm feeling some type of way, but, you know, shout out to it. They got to be listening. They got to be listening, because I don't know how they could jump the gun already. Now I know we had a discussion and wanted to see him out the door or what have you, but I don't know how they move him mid-season, right? While they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. Like I know that probably the chemistry ain't working out and so on and so forth. Now, and there's a lot of interesting standpoints on how the story started to, you know, bubble and gave the, you know, the GM the decision to, you know, pull the plug on David Blatt or whatever. They said that he didn't want to call out LeBron. You got Brendan Haywood. Anybody in the NBA that started talking about this matter, Brendan Haywood at the bottom of the bench, a seven-footer is the 12th man, talking about LeBron and how things have happened in the locker room. Then the blowout that happened in Golden State, they said that he sat in David Blatt's chair and basically closed out the conversation with Tyronn Lue. And speaking of which, Tyronn Lue is now the head coach. He's not even an interim. They gave him the position. So I want to see how everybody feels about this. This is a heavy topic. If people were under a rock, not checking out what we're doing on the Crossover Cafe, y'all better get y'all food for thought, because this is where it pop off first. I don't care what you say with the 4-letter network, Fox, what, I don't care. I know we said it before y'all did, or before they even pulled the plug. I feel like TMZ right now. Okay, so let me have at it. I'm going to go to the guy that actually put this situation in front of us all. Chandler Knight, your thoughts on this situation. And I can spice this dish up a little bit, too, for you before I start to feed everybody else. Rick Carlisle comes out with a statement that says, this firing is embarrassing for the NBA. That's why I look at it. Like, I'm not, you know, totally siding with it with the embarrassment, but with him with the lead in the entire Eastern Conference, you pull the plug on him with 11-12 losses. Like, I don't know. But Chandler, how about it?
Well, Rick Carlisle thinks every coach that gets fired is an embarrassment. Rick Carlisle needs to worry about growing his damn hair back and stop being in everybody else's business. And yeah, I said it. Because I don't like Rick Carlisle. Well, the fact of the matter is that David Black had to go. That was obvious from day one he got there. We've been saying that David Black needs to be fired on this show for a year and a half because LeBron James has been coaching and GMing this team for a year and a half. He never gave the man respect he was due. It's LeBron James' fault that the man got fired. You can't have the best player on the team treating the coach like, you know, one of the equipment guys. And that's basically how he treated David Black. Now, David Black, what's his fault is he never installed any kind of offensive system. They don't play any defense. And, yes, I know he was holding him in first place. Dude, it's still the Eastern Conference. And while the Eastern Conference may be better this year, it's still the Eastern Conference. It's still the Eastern Conference. If they were in the West, would they be in first place? No, they would not. So the fact of the matter is, if they're built to win championships, then they have failed in what they're doing. You have a coach that no one was listening to. You have the youth. The fact is, they only had 1 year for this science experiment to work because of the personalities, the type of people you brought in. You brought in guys who constantly fail in the clutch, like Earl Smith and Iman Shumpert. You brought in guys like Mo Williams who are going to pout if they don't get playing time. You brought in Kevin Love, who's going to pout and do everything he can to throw everybody under the bus when he's not getting shots. So when this didn't work last year, this year was doomed to fail. Now you got J.R. Smith is showing up late. He's acting out, getting thrown out of games when he got no business being thrown out of games. Mo Williams is sitting at the end of the bench, don't want to talk to nobody. And Zavarichow is a witness protection. You got Timothy Mozgov, whose game has not improved one iota, okay? And that's one of the faults. That's one of the faults of him and the coaching staff. Because you know what, Hassan Whiteside's game damn sure has improved. Okay, his game has improved. Timothy Mozgov's game has not improved at all. You don't know how to use anybody on the roster. You got $200 million sunk in one position, and half the time neither one of them are on the floor in crunch time because the coach don't know how to use them. You've won 30 games. You're not winning a championship with that coach and this team. So he had to go. He never should have been hired. Once LeBron James came, they should have went to David Blatt and said, look, man, we know why we brought you in here. We brought you in to rebuild the team. This is no longer a rebuilding situation. Listen, we're going to pay you your money. Thank you for your services. Thank you for your time. Have a nice day. That is what should have happened. Tyronn Lue is now in a position of being looked at. What is Tyronn Lue? If they don't want a championship with Tyronn Lue, now what? Now what do you do? Because you gave him a 3-year deal. And not for nothing, it looks like he kind of like David Black in the back. I get all, whenever you got idiots like that Smith guy going out of their way to ensure that people don't think that Tyronn Lue did that, that means he did it. Okay? That means he did it. And he might not have meant to do it, but he did. When you got all the players coming to you, when you're the one they're talking to during timeouts, when you're the one that they're asking, should we make a substitution, you have just usurped the power of your boss. You have effectively cut him off at the knees. David Blatt had to be fired, honestly, just because the man deserved better than what he was getting. The man's been coaching for 30 years. I say it this morning, I'll say it again. You can't do anything for 30 years and not know something. Okay? You can't do anything for 30 years and not know something. This was doomed to fail. And not to let the David Blatt got the best of this deal, because this team still is not winning the championship, whether he's there or not. It's just now they can stop blaming him, and everybody can point the finger squarely where it belongs at general manager LeBron. Oh, and David Griffin, LeBron James does run your damn organization. Stop lying.
So, boy, was he speaking on that to cover his tail. But look, let's throw this around the kitchen. Sirius, your thoughts on the situation that's going on in Ohio? Tyronn Lue is there, just like Chandler answered. And I guess I get to throw more on this dish. What if Tyronn Lue isn't successful? Because to be honest, they have interesting names there. I'm going to give them as far as that. They have interesting names there. Superstar power with Kyrie and LeBron. But if they don't win a championship, is this all right? Because Tyronn Lue picked up the pieces after they got rid of David Blatt. I mean, is this a 3-year project? I mean, because LeBron only signed for a 2-year deal. Like, did LeBron sign back? We all know the history around LeBron. He's left Cleveland before. He's left Miami while he got sick in Miami. What if this happens again in Cleveland?
You know, man, it's interesting when the news broke to me. I was seriously scratching my head, you know. Not for the simple fact that, you know, David Blatt had to go and like that. I personally don't think Tyronn Lue, you know, I really don't. I mean, his resume is decent, you know, but he was the highest paid assistant, you know, for a reason. You know, he assistant coached the Cavs from 2013 to 2014, assistant coached with the Celtics for 2 years from 2011 to 2013. And then, you know, he played 11 years in the league. I'm not sure this young guy is qualified to honestly lead this group of months. I mean, you have a group of megastars on your roster. Okay, let's not you know, be blinded by the simple fact that, you know, I don't care who's sitting, you know, on the bench with the suit on. This is a LeBron James coach GM squat. You know what I'm saying? So let's not be fooled, you know. So you can have, hell, I can go sit down on the bench with a suit and tie on, get paid, you know, three-year contract for, I think it was $3 million a year, whatever the heck it was, and, you know, get the cash to the Eastern Conference Finals, to the NBA Finals, and get blown out, you know, by, you know, the top three teams in the Western Conference. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not too sure that Tyronn Lue's the guy. And that's been my whole take on the situation. Regardless of whether, you know, Black needs to be fired, I think, you know, Chandler and the cat in the cafe, and, you know, people who I'm a correspondent with back and forth on Facebook make some valid points. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't getting the job done. But again, I'm not too sure Tyronn Lue's the guy. I'm curious to see what happens today when they play the Bulls, you know. That game is going to be interesting to see what type of changes are made, what type of coaching style he has. Does he demand the respect and the admiration from the players that he's supposed to lead? If the answer to this question is no, are they going to fire him again? Are they going to fire, you know, Tyronn Lue, you know, before All-Star break, or are they going to look for somebody else to come in there and kind of lead the ship? You know, for me, gentlemen, yes, he needs to be, yes, David Black needs to be fired, but this screams more of a panic move than anything else. This screams, you know what, we just got boat raced by, you know, going to state in our own building. You know, you got Steph Curry talking about how he hopes to visit a locker room store smells like champagne, just totally disrespecting, you know, his opponent, and they went out there and proved it. You know, is this a panic move by the Cleveland Cavaliers? I have no idea, but it sure seems like, you know, if they hit the panic button and grab the first name that they could think of, Tyronn Lue again, see what you can do. I think if they were to fire David Black, did their due diligence, you know, found the correct guy to come in there and coach that squad, this would be a lot better fit for that team going forward than to have, you know, Tyronn Lue just, you know, move his feet up and see what he can do about it. I think Tyronn Lue's, you know, a sitting second.
And, you know, before I throw this over to Nacho, too, it's like this. Like, it's not like David Blatt was in a situation like Chip Kelly. You know, like, he was sitting up here managing and picking these pieces and trying to put it together. All he did was try to work with this team as best as he seemed fit. He was only there for a year, just like Chandler said, a year, not even a full half. I mean, yeah, well, yeah, a year and a half because, you know, we're 3 months away from April. That's when the season ends. So a year and a half. He got to the finals in his first year. I mean, is this all on the shoulders of LeBron? Like, he had nothing to do with actually of this offense, even though, you know, me and Chandler agree that, you know, the offensive sets they come out with, there's a lot of isolation. Hopefully you get a lot of them to collapse on that and they just kick to some of the guys around the perimeter, which works in several different cases, but you're dominating the Eastern Conference. Then you go up against the Western Conference, and, I mean, you guys got taken care of against Golden State, and then you come back around, Golden State swept you guys to let you know that they still got the rings in their corner, and nothing was done in that matter. So, like, I mean, it's a total mix-up. I think they can point fingers at everybody, not just David Black. And for him to be the best team in the Eastern Conference, I mean, granted, and I know I love to say it too myself personally, if they were in the Western Conference, they probably wouldn't be where they are. But they're in the Eastern Conference. They got to do what they got to do in their respective conference. Like, what else did you want him to have a 39-4 record like Golden State? Like he's doing what he can. Nacho, your thoughts on this situation while they fired David Black, and anything else that you like to throw to it? Also, with what Carlisle mentioned, saying that this is embarrassing for the NBA.
You know, Carlisle is a part of the head coaching association, so I think he's the president, if I'm not mistaken. So anything that has to do with coaches getting fired, he's going to be opposed to it. So him saying it's an embarrassment, you know, he's going to take it to his extremes and whatever, like what Chandler said. He needs to worry about himself and continue to do what he does and not worry about what, you know, and what would it be, downgrading another team. As it pertains to Blatt, I don't think I've ever seen a coach go to the finals. And at the same point, this time last year is actually 10 games better than they were last year, get fired. If I'm not mistaken, around the 40-42 mark, they were about 20-20, 20-21-20, or 20, whatever. They're around 500 around this time. They're 30-11. That's a 9-10 game swing. in an industry in a game, in an association where 9 to 10 games is a huge thing, especially over there in the East. It can, you know, it separates, and you know, out here in the West, we saw, what was it, 3 through 6 separated by 3 games. So in the NBA, 10 games is a lot, and he had his team 10 games better than they were last year, as the head coach of that team. Whether you want to equate it to LeBron being the guy, or, you know, you think LeBron is a GM or whatever, I really don't think they have guys sitting in suits just, you know, holding the clipboard, listening to their beats and collecting a check. I really think that they're doing their job as well. You know, does LeBron have say and a huge voice? Most likely, yes. Does he have the final say? Who's to know? We can sit here and speculate on that, but we could all assume he does. But to me, it's just wrong. I mean, you know, it really is. It's wrong in every sense of the word. Your job as a head coach is to win games and to win championships. You won enough games to make it to the NBA Finals last year. Although you got manhandled by what people are saying is one of the best teams to ever lace the floor, and now this team is throttling everyone. Not only the fact that they throttled you by 34 points, but the next night they went and throttled Chicago by 30 points. So I don't know if it's, oh, woe is us because we're the Cleveland Cavaliers and we can't beat the Warriors and we, yada, yada, yada. They're, what are they, 12 and 14 in their last – or 12-2 in their last 14 games? Or 13-2 in their last 15 games. Their last two games they lost were to the Spurs and the Warriors. So I don't understand how, because those two games, and you're just penciling in that you're making it to the finals, and that because you lost to those two teams, you know, you're somehow going to lose a 7-game series to them in the finals. I'm just not happy with it. If you wanted to part ways, you should have done it at the beginning of the season. And if you felt that way, you should have at least waited to the end of the year. Let this man finish off what he at least started. And maybe he does win you a championship. Maybe you guys do get hot on a streak and then win off, and LeBron goes on a monster tear in the playoffs. Who knows? But it's just sickening to me, again, that a man whose entire job is to win games, he's got a very good winning percentage in the NBA for only having a year and a half, and making the finals and being at a better position in the standings this year, even though they're still in one, they're still the number one, and they finished last year number one, I believe, or number two. So they're in a better position last year, this year, than they were last year. So everything in the sense of the word of a head coach, they're better at. Wins and placement in position in the conference. Now, if you want to talk about weakness of the conference and this or that, you know, we can argue back and forth about, you know, this conference is better, this division is stronger, yada, yada, but you play who you're supposed to play. You're given a schedule, you play who's in front of you, and then that's what you have to do. If you can win the games, you win. If you can't, you can't, and, you know, so be it. So, I'm going to be the first to admit that the Eastern Conference is significantly weaker than the West, and you know, a few of those bottom-dwelling, you know, 6, 7, 8 teams even up to the 15, probably wouldn't even make it in the West, but that's the world we're in. That's what we have to deal with. So griping about it, you know, we're not going to switch up the entire conferences, in 2016 or 2017. So we have to deal with that as it is. They're dominating or they're winning in a conference that is weak, but they're number one, and they're at a better position this year than they were last year. So I don't agree with the firing at all. So, maybe if you have a disagreement of heads and logic or playing call plays, but like a few other people alluded to, they're not really running any offense. It's give the ball to LeBron and let's see what he does. Let's give the ball to Kyrie, see what he does, and that's it. Nobody really plays a lot of defense half the time. It's just not really sound football they're playing over there. They're relying on athletically and physically, and some might say mentally, one of the best players in the game right now, LeBron James, to get him through, and he's getting him through. But you know, it's just it. You know, I don't understand how you get rid of the head coach this point in the season, this record, this, you know, being number one. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay, right before I throw it to you, we got callers in queue. I also got callers that don't have their hand up. So if you just listen, just stay how you are. If not, press one, and I'll get you in here. Calling in by way of the Virginia region, we have Tommy B in the building. Tommy, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. Kind of tired. I just got done shoveling almost 30 inches of snow. but I'm pretty good.
Okay, so your thoughts on the state of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the firing of David Blatt?
I think it's a joke. And something Nacho said, that they're not playing defense. Newsflash, Nacho, nobody plays defense in the NBA. So that's just league-wide. I think it's funny how it's all these jokes I see on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all this stuff where everybody's cracking LeBron James. It's LeBron James. It's his fault. Will you leave this man alone? He is the greatest player to ever step on the floor in the last decade. And leave the man alone. And most of it's you Heat fans down there in South Beach. He brought you two championships. Be happy. Now, get to the firing. I think it's a joke. I mean, they're winning, except when they play, like everybody says, the two teams in the West. Most teams in the East are going to lose to those two teams in the West. I mean, my Wizards luckily beat the Spurs at home, but when we went out to San Antonio, we lost. So, I mean, I don't see the big deal with, I mean, this is only regular season. Yeah, you're on top, you're going to win the East. You're going to probably win the East in the playoffs. I don't know. I haven't seen a team yet in the East, what I have watched, that's going to compete with you. Your problem is when you get to the finals. You're going to play San Antonio or the Warriors. Maybe OKC, but I don't see it. It's going to be – I want to see what OKC does against the Warriors whenever they do play. Ty, maybe you can let me know because I haven't really looked at the schedule yet. But
February – we play them February 6th.
I hope it's on TV live because I want to watch that.
Everybody and their mother wants to watch that matchup. Believe me, everybody wants to see that go down.
I hope it's on NBA TV or ESPN or TNT, whatever. I mean, I really want to see that. Hopefully KD's going to be healthy.
Okay.
There's talk on Twitter and Facebook and everything that D.C. fans, a lot of the media in D.C. wants Black to come down there. I'm shocked. Tell you the truth, I'm shocked that Black wasn't fired last year, or he even came back, because there were talks between him and the team not getting along. I believe it was the Eastern Conference Finals last year against the Bulls. I can't remember. When Black made a play, and LeBron scratched and said, "Forget that, we're going to run this." Walking out of the huddle, he told the team, "Forget that, we're running this." And he hit the game-winning three at the end. So, I mean, the players didn't respect the man at the beginning. So I'm shocked that he didn't come back last year, that he was even back this year.
Okay. Royce, I might as well get to you because I know you probably sitting at the edge of your seat. I do have a caller or two that I want to get in. Nas, I'm going to let you know that you're in here, Nas. And I know you and Royce will kind of like, you know, have the same interest in this discussion, but I'm going to go to Royce on this one. Royce, I know you haven't been here, but your thoughts on the state of Cleveland, like, I don't even know how to address you right now. Like, I want to talk about it before the firing because you didn't come to the cafe, and then the firing happened. Like, literally, we were in the kitchen talking this, and it was Nas and Chandler talking about Black had to be out of the door. And 24 hours later, you could ask Nas. Nas sent me the text while it happened. He said, "You hating chefs done talk that firing up." Like, I'm like, wait, what happened? Hurried up and checked everything out. Black was fired. I'm like, we just talked about that not even 24 hours ago. So, like, I mean, your thoughts on what's going on, the status of Cleveland. And interesting enough, I mean, I can actually push this a little bit forward for you, Roy. Does anybody feel like Cleveland could win tonight? They play the struggling Chicago Bulls who are just vowing to try and get a win. So this is a collision course matchup tonight with the Bulls going into Cleveland. There's a lot of smoke in the Midwest region of the United States of America.
Well,
Well, first of all, let me apologize for not being available on Thursday night. I got a lot to say, but the best part about it is with Chandler opened up with pretty much every single word Chandler spoke, I agree with. So with that being said, I will say the timing is a little precarious. I mean, it's never been seen before. It's different. I think the timing is what we're all up in arms about. They do have a winning record, 30-11. However, we all know that no matter what sport we're a big fan of, we want a team to be focused on winning a championship, whether it's the Super Bowl, in the NFL, World Series, MLB, Larry O'Brien, NBA. If you only want the Cleveland Cavaliers to be the number one team in the East, then that's what you got. But that can't be the goal. That's not the goal. This team is trying to win the championship. It's about getting a championship in Cleveland, and it's been proven they cannot beat the San Antonio Spurs and the Golden State Warriors. One of the two teams that they'll probably face should they advance out of the East. I'm not afraid to say that the Cleveland Cavaliers are the best team in the East because they boast LeBron James. If you've been watching basketball for the last 10 years, you can see that any head coach with LeBron James, for the most part, appears to be a figurehead if he doesn't have the backing of a strong front office personality like Pat Riley. The reality has been this. Since LeBron came into his own as a player, because under Paul Silas, he didn't know the NBA. He still was learning, you know, basically his superpowers and all of that kind of stuff. But LeBron James is good for 60 wins. So 30-11 don't got nothing to do with Black. That's just LeBron James suiting up, the intimidation factor, the ability, the skill set, the talent, okay? And he's done that over and over again, no matter who the head coach has been. LeBron the player, LeBron the coach, LeBron the GM, again, 50 plus to 60 games get you to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe even the NBA Finals. However, LeBron James, the player, the coach, the GM, has no championships to his credit. Zero. In Miami, Pat Riley said, hey, boy, take that coach's cap off. I designated Eric Spoelstra. That's how you're going to win championships. That's why Eric Spoelstra is the only head coach LeBron James has ever had that has not been fired because of LeBron James pulling the strings. So David Blatt, he had to go. He was set up for failure, not by LeBron James. LeBron James did not set up David Blatt for failure. When David Blatt was sought after by Gilbert and everybody in Cleveland to coach that team, he was rebuilding. He had Kyrie. He was getting Wiggins, Bennett. They're trying to put something together. They were in a rebuild mode. They hired like June 21st or something like that. Next thing you know, July 11th, LeBron is like, hey, I'm coming back. And it flipped. Also, you got to remember, Blatt and Tyronn Lue was competing for the same job. They gave it to Blatt. And then they paid Tyronn Lue the most money any lead assistant has ever received in the NBA. Equivalent to a first-year NBA head coach. So he was set up for failure by those who were in charge of that organization prior to LeBron's arrival, period. So LeBron, he didn't set him up. Now, LeBron didn't do anything to endorse him and support him and say, hey, Blatt's my coach. This is the guy that I'm running with, so forth and so on. And that doesn't shock me or surprise me because you're talking about a guy who, you know, he has his own way. So I don't really have any issue with LeBron being LeBron. The issue is really about how long it took the Cavaliers to part ways. Again, Chandler said it best. Once LeBron said he was coming,
They should have came back like true good businessmen in good faith and said, you know what? We hired you in good faith. We had no idea LeBron was coming. We owe you a deepest apology, and we're still going to pay you, obviously, because your contract is guaranteed, but we need to go ahead and part ways now and find us a guy that we believe can help us win right now because it's no longer a rebuilding project. But they let it carry on. It became what it became, and now we're defending Blatt like, hey, he took him to the finals. He did this. No, LeBron. I mean, David Blatt didn't take him anywhere. He was just along for the ride. That's the reality. Like Mike Brown was along for the ride. You know, that's how I see those two guys because they haven't shown me anything as head coaches, not in the NBA. Now, I thought David Blatt was an outstanding coach, you know, overseas and all that. Like Chandler said, I mean, this guy's been around the game for 30 years doing it, but you've got to know something. That being said, it is what it is at this point with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll see what's going to happen. I mean, I'd expect high energy from the players tonight. They'll probably get a solid win. I don't think that they will have fixed all their problems overnight, but what's probably going to be fixed first in this game, 24 hours following the firing, will be the mindset. It's going to be a load of stress. Now guys can talk openly and freely. No more whispering behind Blatt's back. No more, you know, snickering over here and there. Like, yeah, you know, this dude doesn't do this right. He doesn't do that right, man. He's not no good NBA coach. He can't get us, you know, out of a wet paper bag, blah, blah, blah. No more of that. So, yeah, it's going to be a good contest. I would think Cleveland might win, but who knows? Maybe Chicago is amped up just because of the situation and they punched Cleveland in the mouth and told them they still got work to do because that's the reality of the roster. In my opinion, yes, you get rid of the head coach was necessary. You still got work to do with the roster. Absolutely. Absolutely. The pieces still don't fit, in my opinion, unless Tyronn Lue can demonstrate to all of us who watch this team that he can figure out how to get off Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love all in the same game and not once a month. 3-4 games out of a week. They got to be able to get off on a regular basis. You got to find some ball movement, some shot makers, and some defense. Period. If he can't do that, then he'll be the next coach that gets fired. Bottom line, this is the way the league goes, man. You got to win championships when you have a player like LeBron James. You have to win championships. Winning individual accolades or conference titles, division titles, means nothing. Everybody remembers Michael Jordan, right? We haven't forgot Michael Jordan. Every coach who had Mike before Phil Jackson, they were under the same pressure, the same scrutiny. They understand the dude's talent is so great and immense. Not having a championship trophy at the end of the season is utter failure, and your job's in jeopardy. You failed. It didn't work. We got to go somewhere else. That's just the reality of the talent level. So I'm not surprised by the situation. I'm not going to stretch it out, let somebody else get in here, man. This Cleveland Cavaliers team still has a lot of work to do, and I will go on record and say they are not winning the championship. I will say that.
Okay, what about this? Chandler said that they won't come out of the Eastern Conference. Do you agree?
Again, I don't think that they're in that much trouble. I think they still come out of the East, but they won't win the chip. I mean, I just laid it out. I mean, I told you, I felt LeBron James. LeBron James is good enough to get you where he wants to go. He's going to probably get this team to the finals. I can see that. It's still the East. The talent is laid like it is. His track record is proven in that sense, in my opinion. But he cannot beat San Antonio by himself. He cannot beat Golden State by himself. He's got a little bit of an edge on a team like OKC psychologically because he beat them already. But right now, heavy favorites in the West, I said it last time I was in the kitchen, is San Antonio and Golden State, period. And Cleveland cannot touch them in a series. They can't.
Okay, Nas, we got you in the building. I know you were part of the discussion on Thursday. And you alerted me first to let me know that Blatt had got canned because of us. And not to say because of us, but you know, just to throw that out there, that we just spoke on a Thursday, and then Friday they just pop up with the firing. And you've heard everybody's talk toward it, especially with, you know, them leading the Eastern Conference. I mean, pick this dish up, man. Your thoughts on this firing and everything that's following it. And also, if you want to touch on the game tonight, a struggling Chicago Bulls team going up against a Cleveland Cavaliers team, new face coach and probably a new system. I don't know if Tyronn Lue is going to come out with what he learned with Doc Rivers or come out with the triangle, which he won championships with the Lakers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you guys touched on most of the things that we talked about before about this, so I'll try to find, I guess, some spaces that we haven't really touched on yet, but this is the NBA, man. People win the Coach of the Year award and get fired the next year, so it happens a lot. And the championship aspirations that Royce was just talking about, yeah, that's what's on the table. And when you got a guy like Black who's not providing you anything close to what Pop gives the Spurs or what Kerr's staff gives the Warriors, you're just dealing with a deficit. So you have to try to make that up in some way. Now, Tyronn Lue, when you're the guy, you're like the backup quarterback. Everybody loves you. You're everybody's friend. Okay, now you have to become the boss. Does that dynamic hurt Tyronn Lue's relationship with guys, and are they willing to look at him as an authority figure? We're going to have to look at that going forward. The fact that they ran David Blatt out the door and had a 3-year deal ready for Tyronn Lue lets you know this is not something that they just wanted to do all of a sudden right now. I think they would have fired him in the offseason if LeBron would have been vocal. But LeBron, forever the public relations guy, was determined not to push David Blatt over. He was just going to make sure he wasn't going to be there to catch him. So basically, he forced the GM's hand to make the decision. And he wasn't going to give any endorsement, anything like that. He was just going to wait it out and let them do what needed to be done. Now, as far as David Blatt, don't feel sorry for David Blatt. He's going to get paid his full salary. He's also going to be the hottest commodity as far as overseas. He can name his price for any of those clubs overseas if he wants to go. And he's also going to be in line for some NBA jobs because some teams are going to see what he can do with a lot of his dribble drive and pass motion offense and see if it actually is pretty good, even though it didn't work in Cleveland. Brian Windhorst, the Cleveland local media guy, who basically always has the inside on the Cavs, he said a couple weeks ago, David Black started to sit Mo Williams and some of the veteran guys with no explanation, just stopped playing guys. And that really rubbed the team the wrong way. They went out and played Portland that night, a couple nights after him benching all of the veteran guys, and they just got blown out. Like, the team didn't look like they were into the game. It was more of the same, old beefing with Black. He just never reached this team. And Windhorst tells the story of his first victory against the Golden State Warriors. They're in the locker room celebrating and trying to, you know, mess his hair up and stuff. And he says, gentlemen, I'm not a rookie. I won 1,000 games in my career. And they're just looking at him like, dude, that wasn't the NBA. And in the NBA, coach has to have juice, as Royce just alluded to. Spoelstra had Pat Riley backing him up. So no matter what little ups and downs him and LeBron were going to, at the end of the day, Spoelstra was going to be the coach, and LeBron had to work with him in a certain level. And before they left, Spoelstra had figured out the best way for LeBron to play within their system, that pace and space stuff, to where we had LeBron shooting 57% for a season. So you have to give it up to people who figure out different things. But strategically, I don't see any of that from Black. You have championship aspirations. He had to go. You have a small window of LeBron's prime, and you can't waste it on a guy who is not maximizing what you have. Now, Tyronn Lue, this is your shot. You've got to prove that you were what was missing. I honestly think they do need to do a few more roster moves to actually shore this team up. And we're going to see if Tyronn Lue can be that guy. The close shots tonight of him during the timeouts are going to be really, really interesting. How does he command the huddle? What is he drawing up? What do the players look like responding to him? I think for the first couple of games, you get that kind of interim coach feel to where guys are going to try to make you win not only for themselves, because their own pride in when you win, you make it look like it was all the other guy's fault. The guy you ran out of town, it can't be our fault. It's his, everything is his fault. So I think you'll get a nice little short winning streak, but we got a lot to see, though, man. But I do think they will win in Chicago tonight. But as far as championship, man, hey, this is going to be rough. They got a lot to change, man. Defensively, they're bad. I mean, really bad. And that's not a thing of looking at them as individuals. That's a thing of looking at them as a team. What do you do defensively? Because right now, I don't see anything.
Now, there's several different ways I can go with this. I'm going to try my best to allude to all of them. One, defensively, I don't even know where to begin. One through five, I don't know where to begin, including you, LeBron. Like, LeBron is good at playing that, you know, catch up to a guy and you know, blocking his shot at the rim. But other than that, defensively, he watches people scoring him, too. Kyrie, even the Shumpert situation, a lot of people give Shumpert the defensive lockdown guy. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen him hold somebody down to 17 points, and I'm giving him leeway. Timothy Mozgov, I mean, he's a big guy in the paint, but they come in that paint. You got Draymond Green that tests you all the time. And Draymond 6'8", like I would lick my chops if I was 7-something feet and being able to contest these shots. Like, these guys get to come in the paint and score, let alone the way that you guys defend around the perimeter. I know half of you that, you know, on the show right now don't see the Facebook situation. I put up a link, right, of them in a half-court defensive set. Kevin Love was running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and I am not lying. He didn't know where his man was. He got screened. He lifted the screen. He dropped back in the paint. He didn't know who to pick up. The ball ended up coming in the paint. He ran out to the top of the key. That was his man scoring at the rim. So they wasn't even having no, like, communication on the screen or nothing. Kevin Love looked terrible. Kevin Love looked terrible on the defensive side of the ball. It's like all of them live to play offense. And this is something my father raised me up, you know, elementary school. It ain't all about offense, Ty. It ain't all about scoring. Like, you could score. All you got to do is hit the box, you're going to score. That's what my father told me. So I had to learn early. We got a lot of people up, get stops. Then we to run that scoreboard up. I had to learn early. It's like that's out the door now. Like, and especially watching, like, Golden State play, the way that the Spurs move the ball and get it, oh, you're seeing offense high power. Like, five bodies are touching the ball before they actually try to make an attempt to shoot the ball. Like, sometimes some people are hot. They make one pass, and this dude is on fire. Then that could happen. So even you got Kyrie trying to shake up everybody. You got LeBron trying to iso, or Kevin Love sitting on the wing just being a power forward that wants to be a two-guard. Like, it's questionable to me. I don't even want to totally call him out. And then you got David Black, kind of, to me, being a scapegoat situation. Now, I look at the management situation in Cleveland and go, look, like in the past, what, 5 years? You guys had three coaches, right? Something like that, 5 or 6 years. They had Brown, they had Byron, and now they got Black out the door. Now this is your fourth coach? This is your fourth coach. Now, what if Tyronn Lue don't get it? What do we look at then? What's your excuse then? What is your excuse? Because right now, let's be honest, LeBron will be 32 this year. He'll be 32. Just like everybody's saying, his sand in the hourglass is running out. Like, what's going on? Like, do one of these pieces move? Is this working? Like, are you going to pull in another big name? Like, who else do you need? You went out there and got JR. You went out there and got Shumpert. You went out there and got Mozgov. Like, all these people came there. You got James Jones, three-point shooter, sitting at the end of the bench. Why y'all bring him there? He wasted space. Remember what Kendrick Perkins did to do what? To be a cheerleader? And then you get rid of him? Like, stop. Maybe they got to take some of this responsibility, too. Like Black did all he could with the pieces you gave him. They lead in the Eastern Conference. Juice. What, he's supposed to have single-digit losses right now? Like, yeah, I mean, this is good. What do you want? This is the second year in the league, and I understand he's coached for 30 years. He's only coached in the NBA for one season. He's been coaching European ball. I don't get it. Like I said, I can go several different ways. The ISO situation that Chandler alluded to, the defense that Nas and Royce alluded to, the competition in the Eastern Conference, do they get up for a lot of these games? Or when they get to a Western Conference game, are they ready for what's going on in the West? Because the West, everybody's going to knock them out, drag them out, knock your teeth out type of basketball game. Every one of them games. I don't think they set up like that, and I think they could look at that as responsibility toward Black having these guys not being prepared for that situation, but they're on a game-by-game basis. They flying around the country trying to play these games. Like, there's only so much that I'm going to put in front of Black, but somebody has to go. Somebody they got to point a finger to. And like I said, in the middle of the season, after 41 games, he only has 11 losses. Like, wow. Wow. Like, it's only two teams got a better record than them in the entire NBA. In the entire NBA. Like, the Thunder are sitting behind them, and the Thunder are playing great ball right now. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But like I said,
I got a question.
Go ahead,
Nas, and I'll get Royce in there. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Royce. You got it.
Oh, it's just a quick question. You were talking about the defense, and someone sent me a text the other night, so I'm not really trying to take their shine, but I don't want to, put their name out there either. But the question was whether or not I thought the addition or trading for a player like Tyson Chandler to quarterback the defensive end of the Cleveland Cavaliers would make a difference. So I'm just throwing that around the kitchen. See what you guys would think.
I posted something on Facebook the other day that Boogie Cousins may be going to Cleveland. I posted that on Facebook the other day. Now, Tyson Chandler going to Cleveland is interesting. Like you said, the quarterback, the defense. If they get somebody at that five spot, like a Tyson Chandler, like a DeMarcus Cousins, something like that, that would just be ridiculous. That would just fly out.
I just don't think they had the pieces for Cousins, though. Like,
right.
If I'm Sacramento, I hold out for a much better deal than what they're putting on the table. But I was just going to go into, man, look, defensively is assignment basketball. And if you're David Black and your power was usurped as far as the offense you wanted to run, you have to, as a coach, at least put your handprint on defense and say, look, I'm going to make sure everybody knows their assignment. I'm going to make sure we play on the string. I'm going to make sure we talk. We don't see any of that. So this is why that guy had to go, man. I understand some people looking at the record and saying, well, they had this good record. Well, that's not a championship team right now. So, I mean, it's all well and good to have a nice regular season record. We've seen a lot of teams win 60 games, like the Atlanta Hawks last year. They weren't winning the championship. And that's what this team is. You win 60, you go to the finals, and you lose. So, I mean, you had to make a move, and you have to – apply something that's going to change what's going on here. That Tyson Chandler suggests he just threw out, that sounds great. They need something like that in there. But we got to see what they do with Ty Lue, because Ty Lue, he has the credibility, and he also has whatever he throws out now sounds good because it's not coming out of the mouth of David Black. So that's kind of
boring. You mentioned credibility. What credibility does he have, though? That's the biggest issue that everybody's having with this. I mean, he's been an assistant coach for his whole career, and he's been a player for a lot. What type of credibility does he have that David Black does?
He's respected in NBA circles, and David Black isn't. He won a championship.
Yeah, and besides that, you got to look at his career. Tyronn Lue was smaller than Allen Iverson. And he fought his way into this league and stayed in this league because he made people respect him as a basketball player. If you can make people respect you as a basketball player, what is he? Maybe 5'7"? Maybe 5'7"? Okay.
Yeah, like that.
This is a cat that fought dudes that were 6'4" in the paint. And they fought. Granted, they beat him in the paint, but he fought them for every inch. Also, he was also a director of player development for the Boston Celtics. So he might know a couple of things about how to get guys better. Because how are those young Boston players, how are they looking? They're looking pretty good. And he worked with a lot of those young kids they got in Boston. He worked with a lot of them. A lot of ones that
Avery Bradley in particular.
There you go. So he's made his bones in this league as far as being able to walk in there and have some credibility. He also won't have a problem telling LeBron James shut the hell up. And I think that's where the thing is going to come in. I think because LeBron James needs to shut the hell up, first of all. LeBron James needs to shut the hell up and do what his coach says for him to do. And I was spoke on earlier, I think it was Royce, when we all talking about the Pat Riley thing. Nobody's willing to tell LeBron James to shut the hell up. All these coaches he's getting fired, none of them want to tell him, listen, shut up and do what I say. I can get this team over the hump if you get the hell out of the way. LeBron James is more of an impediment to winning a championship than he is a help in many ways, because he's the one that's got Earl Smith acting like he ain't got to play defense. He's the one got Iman Shumpert. Oh, by the way, we keep killing Andre Drummond's guys for not making free throws. How come Iman Shumpert's ball handling hasn't improved? If Steph Curry can improve his ball handling, why can't Iman Shumpert? If Steph Curry can improve his jump shot, why can't Iman Shumpert? Oh, because LeBron said he didn't have to. He's just there to play defense. How come Tristan Thompson still can't make a jump shot? Because LeBron said he didn't have to. He's just got to play. He's just got to rebound. The biggest problem is Cleveland.
Let's not put too much on him. I mean, man, listen.
No. Because you know what? And Royce and Todd know this. Chat shouted me down last year, told me I knew what the hell I was talking about when I said when they brought in Iman Shumpert and Earl Smith, it was a bad deal because those dudes were not going to change. And what everybody tell me, you got to understand, LeBron going to help them change. LeBron going to make it comfortable for them. LeBron going to do this. LeBron going to do that. Okay? I got shouted down by the masses. They told me, they called me a heretic, ready to burn me in the shit.
Yo, I'm sorry. You was right. You was right. We was so wrong.
Oh, God. There's only so much you're going to get from those guys. Like, they're not going to overnight become all-stars. I mean, that's reality. LeBron is a basketball genius, and I would compare it to the great Randy Moss. If you get a coach talking to Randy Moss and Randy knows more than that coach, that's it. He's not going to listen to that guy. He's going to shut him off. He might embarrass him in the film room by exposing something that he said was right and is actually wrong, and LeBron is the same type of cat. So if you got somebody in there who is trying to show this and show that, and LeBron can see through it and see, like that moment I think Tommy brought up against Chicago, where Blatt had LeBron inbounding the ball. And he said, no, we're not doing that. Inbound the ball to me, I'll shoot the three, they win. But, yeah, you do have to have somebody who LeBron has to respect at certain moments. Like, look, dude, you're not always right. And you're going to have some type of chain of command here as a team in order to keep everybody else engaged as a team. You can't just always do your own thing and run things your way as walking CEO. You've proven yourself as a GM to not be good. So you need to listen to other people. There are other people who have good ideas. So all of that is in play, but we also can't blame everything on him, man. Look, Shumpert and those guys, man, those are marginal guys. When he was down here at Georgia Tech, I hated his game. So I never thought he'd be some kind of great player. And for Ty Lue, he finished his career down here in Atlanta those last few years, and they wanted to bring him on as a coach when his career was ending because he had that kind of, I guess you could say, charisma and basketball IQ about him, how he carried himself, how he related to other players. So that's just who Ty Lue's always been, man. Great player out of Nebraska, marginal NBA player, made himself into a basketball mind. I respect him, man.
But hey, the Tyson Chandler thing, real quick, the Tyson Chandler thing, I don't think it'll work because Tyson Chandler will break LeBron's jaw. I think he'll punch him dead in the face. I really do. Tyson from Cali, man. He punched LeBron straight in the face and tells him to shut up. But I do think they need somebody in there to captain that defense. But Tyson Chandler ain't going to put up with LeBron's crap.
That's all. And really, Tyson Chandler, like, come on, okay. Tyson Chandler.
LeBron's smart enough to
count
him.
Hold on. Really? Like, hey, Chandler, correct me if I'm wrong. He's been out of New York for, like, what, like 3-4 years? And I want to say, like, the last two seasons there, this dude was the most foul-prone big guy there. People were still doing what they needed to do. The third year before he left, that's when he won Defensive Player of the Year. After he won that award, he slowly declined. And that's talking about him going back to
18 rebounds the other night.
If you had the night before that. Listen, you got Tristan Thompson rebounding like that. And if he's 7-4-1 to put his hands up, you better go get some boards because you can't score. What else can he do?
Okay.
He was fouling a lot because those guards couldn't contain penetration. They were They were funneling guys at him every day. Breakdown, breakdown, breakdown. You're going to be a foul
shooter. What do you
here's
think Cleveland's going to do?
Listen, Ty, here's what he does.
Hold on.
Ty,
wait.
Your question.
I'll tell you.
I'm going to tell you what he does. Forget the stats. Forget the statistics.
Right.
It's not what he does statistically, Ty. It's that he communicates. He'll be the guy on the defensive end talking all game long. Every time he's on the floor, he'll keep those guys on that string that Nas was just talking about. That's what he does best at this point of his career. And in certain nights, yeah, he'll get you some rebounds, he'll play solid defense, but it's more about those other guys who are deficient defensively that he'll help them know where their man is when they get lost and they're not seeing the ball and they man and things like that and don't know the rotation. He's going to know where everybody should be and keep guys in their place on the defensive end. That's what it's about. It's about his IQ. It's about his experience. It's about the fact that he's long since been a guy who can't really do it night in and night out statistically, but he won a championship not being a guy who did it night in and night out statistically. He taught night in and night out to other people who were deficient on the defensive end. You take a star player like Dirk who can't play defense to save his life, but he helped Dirk. He protected Dirk, and Dirk was able to be effective and beat LeBron. Imagine if he could help Kevin Love be effective on the defensive end, and then Tyronn Lue figures out how to get Kevin Love necessary touches and shots that will keep him more involved and engaged. And now I don't need Tyson to get 18 rebounds because Kevin Love is so motivated, he's going to go get his 18. And then Tristan Thompson, when he comes in, he's going to go get 12. And ain't going to be nothing for Tyson Chandler to do but play solid D. So now you got more guys who are really capable of getting rebounds. And then, you know, another one of the ways that Tyson Chandler would rebound is not even securing the ball. He'd give you that quick little back tap on the offensive end. That's another possession. That's another shot on goal. So he brings advantages. While it may be some disadvantage, but, I mean, the positivity of having him is better than, like, really having Anderson Varejao. I take Tyson Chandler over Anderson Varejao. I take Tyson Chandler at this point in his career, even over Timofey Mozgov. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody in the middle that I would start ahead of Tyson Chandler if I'm trying to win a championship this season. The rest of this season, before the trade deadline, that's who I go get.
Especially how Cleveland constructed, there's no way I could argue that. I couldn't argue that. But let's look at it. His two seasons in New York, no playoff entrance. They didn't get to the playoffs while he was there. Then he went back to Dallas.
Yes, he did.
And he was there? What season?
Yes,
he was
there.
For 2012, 2013.
He was on that. The 50-win season with Woodson. He was on that.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
2012, 2013.
Wait. Tyson Chandler was on that team, Ty. The team with Rashid and Jason Kidd and Tyson Chandler, he was on that team. What is wrong with you?
And what team were they?
I don't know. They lost in the second round to the Cavs. So, I mean, they played out to what their talent equaled up to. But the main point is, I know you're saying
Let me finish. So then he gets down to Dallas, right? Before he just went to Phoenix, they were at 8 seed, and this was one of the worst seasons Dallas had in Dirk's presence being there, because they were winning 51 seasons before he got there, right? After the second stint. They were at 8 seed, right?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, you get him in Phoenix, and he's nowhere to be found. And when he got those guards, they're still funneling them down to him. And he's an older
three-man
now.
We're not saying he can make a bad team good. We're saying if you add him to what you have already, he can kind of be something that pushes you over the top and changes everything. What Royce is just talking about as far as him talking on defense and getting everybody to know their assignment, once you get that on the team, now the second unit understands that better. Same thing you remember in Boston when Garnett got there and their whole defensive culture changed because of that one guy who taught everybody what your assignment is, how to rotate, how intense you have to play, how the pick and roll has to be played. When you get one guy there who does that, now the second unit has a better understanding. They play it better. Now the first unit plays it better. Now Kyrie understands I can't be out here reaching out top and causing the defense to break down. I got to back up a little bit because for some reason I can't move my feet that well. That's what you have to do. You have to have somebody there, the quarterback, and change that whole damn culture, man, because they need it. And I think Tyson is the perfect
move. Okay. Nas, how that whole team looks defensively, speaking of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who does he anchor off of? Pick somebody.
Who does he
anchor off of defensively? Kyrie ain't playing no defense. He's going to continue to see people attack the paint. You, whoever you put at the two guard, whether it's Earl Smith or Shumpert, they are funneling people to the paint because these dudes are not locking dudes up. LeBron, let's be real here. Let's be real here. LeBron don't lock nobody up neither, and he's getting old too. And let
not
me
about
the power
anybody
forward.
You're thinking of this as individual defenders. We're saying
you're going to continue to see Tyson Chandler. Hold on. You're going to continue to see Tyson Chandler, first quarter, three fouls, walking to the scores table.
But you never played this game before sometimes. Stop. Seriously. You talk like you've never played this game. You know damn well, okay, that team defense is built on communication. It's not always built on talent. Okay, you give me five guys that's willing to play hard, okay, and fight every possession, I will take them over five guys with supreme talent who ain't willing to fight, who ain't willing to play hard.
And that's what I'm asking you.
Tyson Chandler is going to help you guys play hard. If you suddenly act like he's supposed to, nobody's saying he's a damn franchise player. Nobody's saying he's a superstar. But the one thing he gets guys to do when he's on good teams, you see, get guys to buy in to playing hard. If you play hard on every possession, your defense will improve simply because you're giving effort.
What four guys on Cleveland are going to do that? That's what I just asked the question about.
He made Amon Shumpert play damn defense in New York. That's why Amon Shumpert supposedly has the label of a great defender. Where do you think Amon Shumpert got that label from?
And let's not speak of this team as if this team is lazy and that's why they've been getting beat up by elite teams. No, they're just not good, and they don't have their concept now. They play hard. It's just people who aren't playing well. Look, play as hard as you want to. If you understand where you need to be, you're going to be a problem. J.R. Smith, now that you put in a nice defensive system and everything, everybody else is on the string, when he comes in and he disrupts that, you sit him immediately. And then now he has to earn his minutes because he has to play defense the correct way or he won't see the floor. Ty Lue now has that pull to do that. Because you know why? LeBron can't afford to lose another coach. LeBron also can't afford to leave Cleveland. He has to make this work. So he's going to buy in. Other guys are going to buy in. This is not just a raggedy lottery team we're talking about here, man. They need tweaks.
I know what this team
don't
is.
They need to burn the whole thing down.
No, they need to blow it up. Okay, Amon Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Timothy Mozgov all have to go. They all have to go. This team will not win a championship with those three players on the roster. Period, end of story. Because they can't be depended upon in the playoffs. Amon Shumpert suddenly figures how to even shoot the ball in the playoffs. J.R. Smith is going to have one great game, and he's going to have four games where he doesn't show up. And in a game where you need him, he's going to shoot horribly like he did last year. You know why I can say that? Because that's his track record. That's what he's proven in his 10 years in the league. He's not suddenly going to change who he is. Okay?
Now, Chandler, if you know that as a coach, what is your job with J.R.?
My job, honestly, my job is to put him on the edge of the bench and bury him. My job is to bury him.
You got to play the ebb and flow. This
is the right.
Just the good and the bad. You don't play J.R. Smith 30 minutes.
No,
is my point.
No, I don't.
You know what
I buried him.
You get,
I buried
what you can out of it, and then you sit him.
I buried J.R. Smith. I buried J.R. Smith if I'm the coach. I bury him. I sit him at the end of the bench, and I say, matter of fact, don't even dress. Put on your suit. Sit there and shut up.
Major minutes, doing whatever the hell he wants to. Nah, it has to be some consequences going on. And we need to see those veterans playing again. So Mo Williams and those guys, you got to figure out how many minutes you're going to play them. And the biggest thing to me is Kevin Love has to play major minutes with that second team where he's the first option. On that second unit, I need Kevin Love out there getting the ball a lot and getting most of his shots in.
Nas, I want to say this right now, especially if he's going to be the guy second unit, which I'm not paying him $100 million to come off the bench. I'm sorry. You're starting,
no,
and I'm
no,
getting
no,
every
no.
penny.
No, he's starting.
I'm getting every penny out.
But he's staying in. It's kind of like the Bulls when Mike would go sit down, Scotty would stay out there for a while with Tony Kukoc.
Hold on, come on now, this is what I want to ask. Okay, yeah, he may be with the second unit, he get his shots up and get on the block possibly to do what he needs to do. Defensively, from what I saw in that Golden State game, I am slowly making my way to Chandler Knight's side and agreeing with them with him being a star and not a superstar. And I was up here defending that. I feel terrible in what I saw. Terrible. Look, he's been in the league just as long as Russell Westbrook been in this league. Just as long. And he don't know what to do on the defensive side of the ball, and Draymond and them was up there laying the ball up, and he was in the middle of the court and didn't have nobody to defend. Nobody to defend. Like Tyronn Lue turns it around this half of the season because he has half a season left. Or does he turn it around next season when they're looking at LeBron like LeBron can end up leaving? This has to change within the next 15 months. We have to look at it like that.
Well, can I throw thing out there that gets dismissed everywhere? Play Kevin Love at the five, man. Nobody will listen to me on this. But give him some stretches at the five. Hell, that's the worst offensive player on the other team usually. Let him play some five. Yeah, he's horrible defensively. But you got to figure out a way to work around him or trade him.
The picture they were playing the Kings, did he deal with DeMarcus?
Okay, but that's just one center, though, Ty. Here's my thing. And Royce wore
the trade. Dwight. We go Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard's hurt. Yes, he can handle when he's hurt.
Yep.
He got to be hurt. Oh, God. Okay.
Ball,
all right.
Don't start giving Dwight the ball. I ain't worried.
Wow.
I got
Kevin
to straight,
Love
would
be a foul trouble, you know it. Against some of them bigs that you're out in the league, he'd be a foul trouble before you know it. Especially with
okay,
young guys coming up. Go ahead.
Okay. The only five time that he's going to struggle against is DeMarcus Cousins and maybe DeAndre Jordan. There are no other fives in the West. Let's be honest. There's no other fives in the West. Most of the other fives in the West are European guys who play out on the perimeter anyway. So, if he's got a 7-footer on him, he can at least dribble around him and get a shot off. And on defense, if you got that big guy standing out on the perimeter, well, Kevin Love's already out on the perimeter, so now the middle of your lane is open, and you don't have to really worry about him not rebounding because, hell, the guy he's guarding is not rebounding either. I mean,
okay,
what Nas
so
says
let me,
has
let me take it out, Ethan. What about Al Horford, who Al Horford has his way with him? Then you got Al Jefferson, right? You also got Brook Lopez as well.
Brook Lopez is a problem. Don't do that. He's a problem.
Okay. Kevin Love could beat him. So Kevin Love could beat him, though.
Dude, I could beat Brook Lopez.
Yeah, let me add this qualifier, because this is where I want to take this. I'm not saying you have to play him there 30 minutes every night. I'm saying find some minutes there. It might be the one you. Draymond at the five, Harrison Barnes at the four, Iggy at the three, Clay and Steph. That lineup is killing everybody, and it only plays for a small stretch of the game, or if they feel like they need to come back in the game or something. But
is that me?
Like
hello?
No, that's Nas. That's Nas.
Now, if you go ahead and speak, Nas. I think you have a technical difficulty on you right now.
Can you hear me now?
Gotcha.
Yeah,
good.
Stepped out from under that mountain, yeah.
No, my bad, man. I was just saying, compare it to that death lineup that Golden State puts out when Draymond's at the five, Harrison's at the four, Iggy's at the three, and Steph and Clay are in the backcourt. That lineup murders teams. And if you're Cleveland, you not only need to figure out a way to counteract that lineup, but you need one of your own that can kind of change the game, get you to go small for a while and get you on a nice run. So I think you have to be – look, if you can't make a trade, you have to be creative and figure out different ways that you can get buckets and also get the effectiveness out of your guys. Kevin Love will – I think he'll do good work at the five. Just you can't expect him to start and play 30 minutes there, no. But for a stretch, I think it's useful.
I think you got to trade Kevin Love. I think – and this is what I wanted to ask Royce, because he brought up the Tyson Chandler thing. Royce, if you're Daryl Morey, you GM of the Rockets, I'm making you GM of the Rockets, Royce. And
Hold up. Aaron's back in the building. All right, now go ahead.
All right, so you said I lost who now, Ty?
Royce fell off.
Okay, well, Sirius, you're now the GM of the Rockets, okay?
Thank God.
I'm the GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I call you up and I say this because your team stinks. It's terrible, right?
Yeah.
I say this to you. I say you're not going anywhere with James Harden. I'm not going anywhere with Kevin Love and the cast of characters I got. I will send Kevin Love. I'll send you Kevin Love, Amon Shumpert, Earl Smith, and a second-round pick for the next 2 years for James Harden.
Who?
I'm giving you love. I'm giving you love. Your boy, JR, that y'all all in love with, apparently, because you got to make some changes on your team. Your team is not going to win this friendly competition. Okay? So I'm offering you a chance to get out from under him and kind of rebuild. I'm going to give you Love, Smith, Shumpert, and a second-round pick for the next 2 seasons.
For James Harden.
Yep. For Harden.
Yeah, I probably may hang up the phone on him now.
Oh, you want to make that trade?
I'm hanging the phone on him now.
Now, you know you're getting fired at the end of the season because you just had to bring back Josh Smith, right?
Right.
Okay. I offered you a chance to save your job.
I'm on that one. If you would have said Dwight, then yeah, I would have been all right.
For Dwight, I'll give you Mozgov. I'll give you Mozgov. And, matter of fact, I'll still give you Kevin Love. I'll give you Mozgov and Love for Dwight.
For Dwight? Yeah, make the deal. Find favors.
Yeah. Now he wants to unload Dwight.
Dude, now if y'all want to talk about having somebody there just to play a little defense and not ask him to do anything else, because actually if you think about it, if you put Dwight Howard on that team where all he has to do is defend and he don't have to carry the team, where nobody's looking at him to be it. Matter of fact, you know what it reminds me of? Shaq went to Cleveland, but Shaq was just already done by then.
Mm-hmm.
But that's basically like bringing in the Shaq, kind of sort of still in his prime, to Cleveland. I think Dwight Howard would excel there, to be quite honest with you. I think he would excel there. Because all the pressure would be off him. All the pressure's on LeBron. He had no pressure at all. And we all know the man can't handle pressure. That might not actually be a bad trade.
Yeah. The only problem with that is Dwight's injuries. He can kind of scare you a little bit. Besides that, I mean, yeah. That's interesting. I think the owner will overrule any Harden trade. That whole beard mystique down there in Houston, man, those jerseys for little kids are flying off the shelves. He's that guy down there. He's a big deal as far as the dollar down in Houston. I don't think they move Harden. I think they keep trying to placate him and make him happy and keep going and rolling the ball out and acting like they're contenders. But
But Chandler, I'd rather see Dwight in the paint with Cleveland if that deal ever presented itself over Tyson Chandler. I couldn't. He's too foul prone for me. Yeah, yes, Tommy.
I'm gonna throw something around the kitchen. I wanna know everybody's opinion. It's more for Chandler since he's a Knicks fan, I believe. I've seen reports where the Knicks are the favorite for Derrick Rose. Why would they do that for? The man can't stay healthy. He's beat up.
It's manufactured press. That is the New York media making up stories because Phil Jackson won't talk to them. This is why free agent superstars in their prime will not sign with the New York Knicks, because the media does stuff like this. This is entirely concocted by the New York media. And the New York sports media do not have moles inside Madison Square Garden. The employees of Madison Square Garden, and Ty knows this as well as I do, they are so afraid of James Dolan. They are so afraid of James Dolan. You don't get leaks out of there. You don't get leaks out of there. This is entirely made up by the New York press because they got nothing else to talk about.
Well then, well then.
And just to put the comparison on Dwight and Tyson, though, Ty, the problem is if you're able to get Tyson, you know exactly what you're getting, and I think you're a better team and you got a chance for a chip. If you get Dwight, it could go that way, or it could be the lackadaisical Dwight who drives LeBron crazy. So there's that too. So I think Dwight, as great as you could be with him, there's also the chance that Dwight could go Dwight on you. You know what I mean? Paint your face.
Every big man that's been with LeBron has drove him crazy. Name a big man that he was in love with since Ilgauskas. Since Ilgauskas, you name a big man that LeBron has been in love with.
Donyell Marshall.
Donyell is not a big man. You better stop. You better stop. Donyell is from Connecticut. Stop. I know people that know Donyell for real. Look, Donyell is from right here. He is not a big man. He is from Connecticut, USA. I'm not buying that.
He did love him from Donyell, and he loved him from Big Z for some reason, too, late in his career, when Big Z didn't have him. He brought him to Miami, hell.
Any follow LeBron down there. And he followed him. Let's stop. You think you're so funny. Shut up. Shut up. Just like you told him, coaches need to tell LeBron, yo, shut up and let me draw up the play, okay? Let me draw up the damn play. Like, stop. I don't know about that situation. I really think if I had to choose between a big man to sit aside and LeBron, I'd rather go with Dwight instead of Tyson. I'd rather do that.
See, the reason I like Dwight there.
But to add to that situation, he is injury prone. That is the only thing that scares me about and Dwight hitting free throws too. Tyson hit free throws better than Dwight, but his injuries and him as a free throw line, his percentage is near Shaq stuff. Like so, like hey, Bob, that bothers me. That does bother.
Yeah, but you're not gonna have him on the court in the fourth quarter unless you can go offense defense with him. You're still gonna have Tristan Thompson. You're still gonna have Anderson Varejao. So you can have. Remember the old Chicago Bulls teams? Remember the three and sometimes four-headed centers they had? They had Cartwright, Winnington, Stacey King, Luke Longley, you know what I'm saying? And they would rotate literally three or four guys at center. You know what I'm saying? They would rotate three or four guys at center, depending on the situation, to determine who plays. When in the fourth quarter, they put Cartwright on the floor. You know why? Because Bill Cartwright could hit free throws.
Yeah, Cartwright could
he could hit free throws, damn it. Now, at that stage of his career, that's all he could do. But, hey, he got fouled. He made free throws. Then you brought in Winnington if you wanted somebody to really body up and foul somebody. Then you brought in Luke Longley if you wanted to stretch the floor a little bit, have him step out. So you could, listen, a good coach, not going to say anybody, but a good coach could work with Dwight, Varejao, Twist, and Tristan Thompson. He could work with them three. He really could.
Yeah.
Okay, Listen, we are at the tail end of the show. I went 30 over because I told y'all I had stuff to do in this snowstorm. But I didn't even get to a lot of the topics. Listen, LeBron and these Cleveland Cavaliers and David Black carried the entire show for 90 minutes. Look, y'all carried the show with this. But tomorrow I wanted to talk about Kemba Walker, the tear that Kemba's on. Chicago still sliding, even with Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose going off. They still are sliding. There was another topic that Chandler actually gave me wind on that I actually had to see for myself, the fight in the Garden with Lopez and CP3. I wanted to touch on that. He busted CP3 in the lip. That was crazy. The Heat falling, suspended with his three-year deal for $75 million. Like, I got a lot. And also, I know you're going to love this one, Chandler, even though I'm ending the show on this one. Eric Mangini got fired. So that, I know Chandler would have loved that. I was trying. Sports City, I tried, man. But leave it to Sports City to carry one topic from start to finish in the roundtable. But it was a good conversation all across the board. Busy show. At least nine of us in there today. At one point, we had nine people there, so I'm loving that. I need plug closeouts with each of you. We do have Nacho back in the building. Nacho, I'll start with you. Close out, shout out. See you tomorrow at the brunch.
You know, at Nacho on the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it was a great show today. Carried a lot. I enjoyed listening to the pretty much all of it that I was listening to. It was, insightful and, we did miss a lot, man. There was a bunch I wanted to get into with you guys. There was one thing. I don't know if anyone wants to touch on it on their outro since I get to go first. I guess I can lay it out there. With this NCAA, with the basketball, the way that the top fives continue to fall and continue to fall to unranked teams, and the way some of these teams are falling as a Duke and a Kentucky, those two teams are 20 and 23 respectively. Do they get knocked down? Is this the first year that because of teams taking multiple losses at the beginning of the year and inevitably taking probably a couple more at the end of the year, that we see a 9 through 16 champion in the NCAA because one of these top teams in the beginning of the year ends up losing a few and falls down, and then they're ranking as a 9 seed through a 16 seed at the end of the year? And another possibility, throwing it out there, is this a possibility where – we see a Duke and Kentucky in the NIT championship if they continue to lose this way. Anything else other than that, man, it was a great show. I enjoyed listening to everything, and I can't wait to get in tomorrow and talk about some, you know, what we call the big boy football. It's going to be awesome. And then we'll be, you know, after tomorrow, we'll be 14 days away from the biggest game of the year. I'm ready, man. So, I can't wait for tomorrow. Get ready for that brunch. Todd, thanks for letting me come on. Everyone that came on, thanks for, coming on. And, I wish you could have gotten more, but, we're getting that tomorrow.
You hear the lineup. I only got the one topic. I write about 10 to 12 topics now. I only got to the one, and that was it. Like, it carried. Like, that was it. So I got a lot of work to do tomorrow. I know that. Secondly, I do want to throw this one out there. You threw it out there. There has never been a 16 seed to advance past the first round, so you could just pop that dream cloud. If it does happen this year, then I'll give you a 10-minute segment on talking about a 16 seed being a number one. Like, we've never seen it. I've never seen it. It was not even been done. So let me just say, it never happened. So picture that happening. And also, we talked about this earlier this week in the cookout. Duke and Kentucky could both be knocked out of the top 25. Duke is sitting at 20, and they just lost. Kentucky also lost, too. Picture both of these two falling out of the top 20. That would be ridiculous. And I'm getting personal here at Sports City. I am not a Duke Blue Devil fan. My father was, but I don't like Duke. So this is a happy note for me. Like, I'm happy to see Duke struggling, especially with all of the All-Americans that Coach K gets. I love it. I love every last bit of it. Also, Michigan State falling too. A lot of people ain't seeing what's happening with the Spartans either. But look, I only got to the LeBron and David Black situation, man. I got a lot of work to do tomorrow.
I know. It was crazy.
I tried. I tried. They won't even let me go. I ain't even hear nothing serious. Siri's sitting here chilling. Like Siri's sitting here chilling. Like, just think about that. How much I bicker with this dude. Okay. Now I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the roundtable.
Yeah, man. Thanks for letting me on. As usual, man. Good talk with y'all, man. I do got to say, man, I think it was Tommy who sent the video of CP3 getting that two-piece in the mouth and holding his mouth and walking away. That's the last thing I expected. I thought CP3 was that little dude who would always fight you, that little bulldog. But, we saw him step away holding his mouth, and I think I saw a smirk, a little bit of a smile on the face of DeAndre Jordan, like, yes, what I always wanted to do, somebody finally did it. He had to come in and act like he wanted to break everything up and protect his man or whatever. I think he was happy to see CP get that
I brought it up one and two. I started laughing because I don't know if y'all seen it, but we've been robbed. What happened? They took my ring. He said, you ain't got no ring. You sure don't. If y'all didn't see the State Farm commercial with Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan epic stuff, especially while Lopez gave him that slap in the face. It wasn't even a punch. He slapped Chris Paul in the lip and sent him walking away. Slapped him. But, stuff happens. Stuff happens. Stop. You made me laugh. I want Sirius to get this close out so we can roll this show. Mr. Simmons, I need a plug, close out, shout out. You already know what we do around this time.
Man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 to 713, man. And, sometimes, in Sports City, you got to sit back and just watch your brothers go to work, man. This is one of those talks with me, man. I enjoy myself. Got to play GM for the Rockets for a minute, to sat back on me and just watch my man do their thing. I was impressed with all y'all, man. Great job today. Tomorrow, man, we got the brunch, man, kicking off, man. We snowed in. I was on the East Coast, so you got no excuse not to get the brunch. I actually have to wake up for that joint. But anyways, man, it's your boy, Sirius, man. It's just a pleasure to be with you guys, man. I'm out, man. I'll be here.
Yeah, you get here for that AFC-NFC talk. I need that because you today, listen, Sports City, this is the first time y'all came to the kitchen, right? And Sirius been here the entire show, right? The entire show. And the boy, look, he come up there today. This is what he said, and I quote, I'm coming up there to fry dudes. Did you hear Sirius fry dudes today?
I didn't even have to. I just sat back and just chill.
Even when they called out the Rockets, he's like, okay, don't talk about the Rockets. Let me get in there. They said, you about to lose your job because you just had all this go down and you got Josh Smith back after letting him go last season.
How can I find news? The man was speaking the truth. my biggest issue with the Rockets is from the head down. It ain't got nothing to do with Josh Smith. I love Josh Smith. You need to get Bickerstaff out of that joint, but that's another conversation for another day, man. Let's keep moving.
In the words of Jay-Z in 99, I'm focused, man. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. As you heard these boys, we'll be back at it tomorrow, man. I'm feeling some type of way, man. The brunch will be epic. I already know the footballer. I'm going to do my best, right? I'm cutting these dudes off at the 30-minute mark. I promise you. Like, as soon as I got an hour left, I don't care if somebody's there, but done. You're not getting anything out. Listen. Before I start the show, I write out a script on how I'm going to get down. I didn't even need to. All I needed to put was Black, Cleveland, Carlisle, and backed away from the show. That's it. Like, these dudes were here. It was even to the point, Swiss, I'm going to keep it honest with you. I'm going to keep it 100, and they'll tell you, too. Royce and Chandler sat there and said, roll the topic. Bro, this is crazy. They were texting me all during the show, and I'm up here trying to talk, trying to figure out where I'm going to go with it, trying to see if I can switch out of it. They said, bro, keep running it. So they even want me to keep putting out the same food. So, hey, I try, y'all. I try. But tomorrow, I promise you, 30 minutes of everything that I got written here. It's a big fight tonight. I really think Danny Garcia is going to light the hell out of Guerrero unless Guerrero shocked the world. Unless he shocked the world. That's going to be a big one. I'm surprised not to miss that one. Look, I got a lot of sports stuff to deal with today, man. I'm closed in. And the worst part about it, I got people here waiting on me because my Hoyas are in the building taking care of UConn right now. We up on UConn, too, right now. Oh, UConn just took the lead, too. Let me stop talking. Let me get there, though. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Your problems, thug niggas vow when I come through. They can relate to my tougher with their brother.